Wow, usually they do this after I sit down. So God bless you. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise Him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to Him on the 10-string lyre. Or use a trumpet and a flute. Thank you, Michelle. Thank you, Trevor. Thank you, Shar. Sing to Him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. For the Lord, word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all He does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. And the earth is full of His unfailing love. Father, bless us with Your presence as we celebrate Your moving of Your Spirit in our lives, in the lives of Ken and Rosie and their loved ones and family, the lives of the people of this church and community. And really, Lord, in a ministry that spans many decades in many different places, that has touched the lives of untold thousands of people, we do not lift up people. We lift You up. Your glory is evident, and we praise You for Your work through these whom we love so much, Ken and Rosie Sterrett. Bless us this day as we celebrate in Your name. Amen. The children have a presentation at this time.
To pick his favorite songs, and it's not surprising to me that he picks songs that praise the Lord. So we're going to start out with Shout to the Lord.
Jesus, my mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the word of your hand. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you.
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my praise I want to praise the wonders of your
That's a good lesson to learn, I think. Knowing to bow the knee to Him who knows all things. He knows enough to create you, and sometimes we mess that up. But that's when we need to bow our knee. I'm so grateful for that song. Well, we need to a hymn that's I love. It says, "Our God reigns. He's in charge." Let's just stand again.
Since he started, I started the same time he did, and as the church office secretary, so we've become good friends. And today I'm acting not as the church secretary, but as the NMI president, because I have a special presentation from the NMI and Trinity, your Distinguished Service Award for you. And it says, "Fort Wayne Trinity Church of the Nazarene takes pleasure in presenting this certificate to Ken and Rosalie Sterrett for loving service to Trinity Church of the Nazarene during 19 years of faithful ministry."
We've handed out a lot of these through the years around here, and it took me to retire to get one. But that's okay. I do want to say that Our first board meeting here, I said to the church board, or they said to me, we need to get a secretary. And one of the board members said, no, it said, well, we'd like to get somebody from outside the church. I said, no, I want somebody inside the church because I'm going to work them on Sunday too. And so Kevin was telling me that Shar had been working in the office for him for those few weeks that he was interim. And I said, well, how'd she do? And he said, she did okay. So I said, well, let's just keep her on.
I didn't want to talk, and this is why.
I knew you were going to make it.
I see a pew full of people, little people and big people alike, way back there. Would you guys stand up if you are related to the Starrets? As two of our grandchildren and four, is that right? Four of our great-grandchildren here today. And I'm so thankful for that. But when I look at them, I think about how gracious you have been over the years. You guys can sit down. And what a blessing it's been. You have been our family. We have wonderful families outside the church, but you have been our family. You have prayed for our children. You have given sacrificially for them at times. I remember when Kimberly got so sick, and she was living with us and going to high school, and she got so sick. And you have never met their mother to this day, but you took up an offering because you knew she was going to have to go to Mayo Clinic and stay there for a while with Kim. She was flabbergasted to find out that you had taken up an offering in one evening of $1,500 to help her with her expenses. I don't know. I think probably every Nazarene church in the denomination is good like that, but you're better. And I can't begin to tell you what it has meant to have you as our church family. I love all of you so much. I don't know how I'm going to go to another church. My husband may have to fight me every Sunday morning. But we will pray for you as you pray for us. You will always be in our hearts. Thank you so much. We've got it together, I promise.
Is worth Thank you. city as they continue to look for the new leadership of this great, great church. And they're in the processes now. Dr. Rowland's met with the board a couple of times, and we'll continue to do so. But let's just pray for our church, and that God knows exactly who it is and what he's doing and why he's doing it. And so we just put it in his hands today. So, yes.
I'm sorry, I forgot to tell you that Jim was feeling too sick to come this morning. He opened the door.
Okay, let's hold Jim up in prayer this morning. I talked to him yesterday. He was Thursday was feeling really good. Yesterday he had a bad day, and apparently today it continues on. So let's just really lift up Jim in prayer this morning. Well, let's go to prayer and just go before the throne. Our Father, we do come to you this morning. We thank you so much. Holy Spirit, we have sensed your presence in this place already. We've sensed your presence in the songs that we've sung. We've sensed your presence, Lord, in the times of fellowship that we've had here. We've sensed it, Lord, in the choir number. Lord, we've just already this morning sensed the beauty and the wonder of your love. And we are so thankful this morning. We're so thankful, Lord, that no matter what we're doing, you're there in the midst of us. And I praise you today for that, Lord. And I pray today that you would continue to be with us throughout this service. Lord, we know that a lot of people have worked hard to put this service together today. And Lord, in the midst of all of that humanness, we pray for the hand of the Holy Spirit to take control. We praise you today, Lord, for the songs that we've sung and are going to sing. We thank you today for the scripture we've heard and are going to hear. We thank you today for the different things that have already taken place. But Lord, if your hand isn't in it, then it just isn't worth doing any of it. So we're thankful today. And Lord, we call upon you to just ask God that you would bless and that you would take control, that you would take charge of it. Lord God, we just pray this morning that you would be the one that we would look to and be an answer to. We pray this morning, Lord, that you'd be with us throughout this service. And everything that we do, may we praise the Lord. And everything that we do, may we shout to the Lord. And everything that we do, may we look to you and give you glory and honor and praise today. Lord, this morning we do pray for Jim. And Lord, we know that he wanted to be here so badly this morning. And yet, Lord, his body is just rebelling against him. We pray for healing for him this morning. We pray, God, that they'll be able to make it to the 2:00 service this afternoon when we talk about these last 19 years that that you've given us to be a part of this great church. Lord, we pray this morning that you would just touch him right now. And then, God, we pray today that you'd be with Dr. Rowland and Cheryl. We know that they wanted to be here, but Lord, he's where he needs to be this morning. He's with his daughter. And we just pray that you would bless him today and Cheryl. And we pray that you'd touch Dr. Rowland as he works with the board and they pursue a new leadership, a new pastor here. God, to continue on with this tremendous, great, powerful church that you've set right here on Stellhorn Road. And we pray, God, that you would just be with those churches around us this morning. God, for years and years and years, we've prayed for the churches around us, for the Grace Brethren Church down the street, and for the Northeast Christian, Lord, and for the Church of God over on Hobson, and Abundant Life over on Coliseum. And Lord, we've prayed for those churches, and we believe, God, that any success that they've had has been because of these people in this great church who prayed for them. We prayed for the other churches, Lord, that are not preaching a salvation message, and some of them are not even preaching the gospel in its true form. And we've prayed for them, and we'll continue to pray for them. But Lord, this morning we just pray that you would be your name would be high and held up among all these churches, God, that are preaching to people to tell them that they need to be born again. We praise you today, Lord, for everyone that's here this morning
so many of my family that have come today. And so many friends. And so many people who've been a part of this church. And all of those who continue to be a part of this church. And Lord, I just pray that you would bless this day and this service this morning. I pray, God, that you would just be with us through the rest of this service this morning. May you be glorified. May your name be high and lifted up. Oh, Lord, may you be blessed. And may our worship today bless you just really good. And Lord, we'll thank you for it this morning. We'll praise you for it this morning. And give you all the glory for it. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We're going to get ready to receive God's tithes and your offerings this morning. And my wonderful daughter-in-law, Michelle, is going to play without Trevor this time. But Trevor's doing great. And we're so glad for that. So let's get ready to worship through our giving this morning. And if you do want to give through your debit or credit card, you can see Wally in the office right after service, and he can swipe that for you and take care of it for you. But let's just have a great, great, great offering this morning. Let's just make it the biggest it's ever been. And it'll all go to the glory of Jesus. And let's get ready to receive that. Father, thank you for the offering today. Thank you for this moment to worship you in giving. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
This is supposed to be Jim, but he's not able to be here. And he said I could sing his song, "The Anchor Holds," for you, Pastor. That's not my song. There's something with me. It doesn't work with me up here. I'm not supposed to. Anyway, I knew he had sung it not too long ago. Tender mercy.
covers my sin. Each time I come into your presence, I stand in wonder once again. Your grace.
Thank you. for words. And the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down my grain, washing my eyes to see your majesty? Be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay blessed in your holiness. Word of God, speak.
Not up here to sing, for which all of you can be grateful. I'd like to preface these remarks with a rhetorical question. Is it okay to be irreverent to a reverend? I said it was rhetorical. I didn't expect a response. Over these 19 years, the pastor and I have met faithfully off and on for lunch on Thursdays. During those times, we've witnessed to others, we've discussed church business, we've had a marvelous time fellowshipping with one another, and we are scheduled to meet again this following Thursday. One thing I have never done in all of these years that we've met for lunch is to buy him lunch. This Thursday, if he doesn't cancel on me, which he's been known to do, I will buy his lunch. And lately, Mike and Don have been coming too, so they'll be witnesses too. So so I put you on the spot. You got to come now. We'd like to say that 19 years ago, and you've heard this magic number 19 a lot of times today, before he came, I was church treasurer. And after he leaves today, I'm still going to be church treasurer. Which only proves that it's a lot easier to get rid of a pastor than it is a treasurer. But you guys keep working on it. As I said, 19 years ago, he came to serve us at Trinity. 18 years and 11 months ago, we started collecting money for a retirement gift for him. but we didn't really get that going in earnest until the last couple months ago. Since that time, there's been money coming in through the church. There's been money that's handed to me and with personal checks written out to the pastor. And I'm sure throughout the day there will be other gifts presented to him either at the lunch or the service today. But so far, we have given $1,370 to the pastor. And I would like him to come up and collect it from my cold hands. There you go. Thank you so much.
Amen. First time we've ever hugged.
That's right.
Thank you so much for that. That was not expected. I got to tell you, I've never in my life had a treasure like Wally, and I mean that in the good way. So many times he's said to me, you know, I think it's time for me to step down. And I said, you cannot step down. You cannot quit this job until I'm gone. And so I'm gone. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen to Wally, but I tell you what, he's right. We began meeting 19 years ago. He said, can we meet together and have lunch? I said, let's do it. We started meeting together. A few years later, Don joined in with us because he works downtown, and we've had a few of the others. Pharaoh came and had lunch with us for some weeks, and when he could get away, and he was there. We had some other guys from the church that would come and have lunch with us every once in a while. During the summer, when we'd take care of the boys, Trevor would go down. He always looked forward to going down and having lunch with Wally and Don. But we've met for the last many years, and now about a few months ago, maybe longer than that, I don't know, Mike joined in, and he's been having lunch with us. So we've done this for a long time, and we've had a great time. I've just enjoyed the fellowship of those guys through the years, and so we will be able to have lunch together this Thursday. I do have to tell you, we were going to do it last Thursday, but Rosie ended up in the ER, and we were there till 7 o'clock that night. We did find out that she is very, very well, and she says she's the most healthy sick person that she knows. We still haven't found out what the problem is, but we know that what the problem is not. But she did end up there, and that's why we didn't have lunch. But anyway, so thank you so much for this, and I'm going to try to put this in my pocket, and maybe Rosie will never see it, and then I'll be okay. Like that's going to happen. All right, what do we got next? You? You're
singing? I'm filling in for Jim.
You're filling in for Jim. Okay, I'll go for now.
Jim was supposed to sing thank you for giving to the Lord, but I guess I've been elected. So here we go. That's why the Kleenex. I dreamed I went to heaven, and you were there with me. We walked upon the streets of gold beside the crystal sea. We heard the angels singing, then someone called your name. We turned and saw this young man, and he was smiling as he came. He said, friend, you may not know me now, but then he said, but wait. You used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. And every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. One day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart. He said, thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Then another man stood before you. And he said, remember the time. A missionary came to your church, and his pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. And Jesus took the gift you gave, and that's why I'm in heaven today. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I have a life that's been changed. Somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you had done, sacrifices made, unnoticed on the earth, in heaven now proclaimed. I know up in heaven you're not supposed to cry, but I am almost sure that there were tears in your eyes as Jesus took your hand and you stood before the Lord. He said, my child, look around you. Great is your giving to the Lord. I have a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad.
Will you sing this next chorus with me?
Morning. So they've given me a monumental task. The task is that I should pray this final prayer for this pastor on this final Sunday in this ministry of his. The thing with that is I've been here 2 years and he has been here 19. So I'm to encapsulate 19 years with my 2 years of experience. But I think that the Lord will teach me what to say while I'm up here. Amen? So what we're going to do I'm going to ask all the board members and staff members and leaders of any kind to position themselves around Pastor and Rosie. And we will have a prayer. We pray that suits the purposes of the Lord. So, can we do this?
Maybe we can get two chairs and put them right here. I think we got two here. One here.
So we're calling all staff members, all board members, leaders, teachers, and the like. I will just rest my hand on somebody who is resting their hands on them. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we are your children. You are our God. You've done everything well. Everything you created was good. And you sent Pastor Ken and Rosie here. And that, we believe, was a good thing. And they have been good for us. So we thank you. Because not everything he did was good. But it turned out for the good of us anyway. And it worked to your glory anyway. Because his heart was good. And he meant good. And he wanted to do good. Even if it didn't come out that way, we know it meant good and it worked for your glory. So, Father, we thank you because you sent us a humble man and a humble woman. This pastoral family were just ordered for this church. And we thank you for the people they found here when they came. People who loved them and encouraged them and supported them so they could stay 19 years. We thank you, Lord. Some of them are not here now. Not here to participate in this event. But they were beneficiaries of the ministry. Lord, we thank you. There are so many who have come and gone. But today, we are here. And we want to give you thanks for everything you did. Lord, we want you to remember. We ask you to remember Pastor Ken and Rosie. Remember them, Lord, for the times when they came here scared and timid, not knowing what was going to happen, but they stood up anyway. They took the pulpit and they took the classes. Remember them, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to remember them for those times when they visited people in the hospital and they, in their eyes they were looking so sad, so sick. Some were dying and some did die. And he looked into their eyes and he prayed a prayer for them. An encouraging prayer. We ask you, Lord, that you'd remember them. Remember them for the hours of counseling and dealing with issues that we didn't want to deal with. We couldn't handle marriages that we just couldn't put together and keep together. But they took them on because in your name they knew they could do anything. And if it didn't work, Lord, it wasn't their fault. They gave it anyway. Lord, we thank you for the many sermons that came over this pulpit. So many lives have been changed. We may not know who they are right now, But they gave it anyway. He preached anyway. So many nights he sat up to write a sermon and just didn't have it. Was broke. Broken. Hurting. Suffering. And yet, Lord, he found a way to tap into your glory and wrote that sermon that fit the purpose and relieved hearts. Thank you, Lord. And we pray that you remember them. Remember them, Lord, when they stood alone sometimes, lonely because of their walk. There are places they couldn't go, people they couldn't see, things they couldn't talk about. They had to eat it. And kept on smiling. Lord, we thank you for them. We pray, Lord, that you'd remember their dignity and humility. Remember their diligence and integrity. Lord, remember all the things they were to all the people that they served. Remember that they reflected your glory. They reflected you. They reflected your servanthood. Sometimes it was singing on the choir. Sometimes, Lord, it was sweeping the floors, shampooing the carpet. Lord, we thank you. Remember them for those kinds of things as well. We know you have a great reward for them. And we know his work is not done yet. It's not done because he's here, alive and well. And we know that you have given them a lot of experience. And so that experience, Lord, could serve from here out. Others could benefit because of what he learned here and the experiences he has gained. Father, we pray that whatever you have for him will give him maximum joy, maximum benefit, maximum blessing. Remember him, Lord. And remember her. Remember them in their times of sickness when Rose is having a hard time and he has to make a call and he has to decide between the call and Rosie. And sometimes, Lord, when he wants to be in the church doing things and Rosie calls and the doctor calls and he has to go, remember him for his obedience and remember him for his love of people. We give him to you today, not in sorrow parting, but yet our hearts are joyful that he has come to a point where he recognizes what you want, accept it, and yield it to your will. We know, Lord, that if you took him away from here, you have somebody else to come in here. To do and to be what we need now. For 19 years we had him, but now you know why you're sending him somewhere else and bringing someone else in. So we glorify you in all things. We thank you. We love you, Lord, in the midst of our broken hearts, in the midst of our tears and song, in the midst of whatever we feel sorrowful about. We glorify you because you brought us to this place that all of us have learned from him and from Rosie. All of us have learned from this family. We watched them grow their family. We watched his integrity. We watched his love. We watched how he handled things. And today, we must go on with what we learned. Help, Lord, that the word can be. Because he was here, we're better people. And we can show that with our love. We thank you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Now we would like for the pastor and Rosie and their family that are here to walk straight out the door and straight through the food line before anybody touches it. And then you have reserved tables in the back. So go on back and have a seat. Everyone, your silverware and napkins are on the table, so you don't have to worry about any of that. After Pastor and his family have left, if those who need help and assistance, some of our older people need help, it would be very kind to let them go next, and then the rest of us.
I'm going to impose just a little. This is one of the great pastors in our lives, Brother John.
Say thank you to everybody that has been working so hard to put all this together, and for all of you that are here this morning. And I really appreciate the fact of my family being here. Randy and one of my boys made it, at least, and his family and all of them, and our granddaughters and great grandchildren are here this morning with us, and then friends that we've known from all of our, several of our pastorates. And then down through the years, you've heard me tell you stories about my sister. And I bet you didn't think she really lived. I bet you thought all that was made up. Well, the great Donna is here today. And I'm only here because of her. And my sister and my brother-in-law, Donna and John, and my niece, Julie and Steve, and their kids, and they're here this morning, and then Steve and Jan. Steve and Jan are products of two of our pastorates, and they're here this morning. Wow. I tell you what, it just you never know what God's going to do. And then Jan's mom and dad, Al and Ruth, were in our church in East Peoria, and Al was our Sunday school superintendent for, oh my goodness, how many years, Al, 25? Long time. That's right. We worked together for a long time during those times, and he was Sunday school superintendent longer than I was there. But we're so glad that you're all here this morning. Then all of you that have been a part of Trinity through the years, and so many of you that still are. And this afternoon at 2 o'clock, we're going to have kind of a down memory lane type of service. I just have one part of that. So the rest of it has been up to Joyce and Pastor Sandy and Char, and I don't know who else has been involved in that. But please be here for today for that at 2 o'clock. Just stay for dinner. There's a lot of food. Greg asked me what time we were going to be done here today, and I said probably real close to noon. But and he's in charge of that. He does such a great job with the dinner. And so stay for dinner. There's all kinds of food and all kinds of places to sit. And then we'll just come right back in here and have a wonderful 2 o'clock service and just keep the day going. And we'll send you home full and tired, but blessed. And so we'll just want you to stay around and visit and get to know some people. Well, this morning I want to bring my final sermon to you as your pastor. It's been a great 19 years, and I'm going to do my best to make it through it. May not make it, but I'm going to try. I want to start this morning giving you the scripture from Ephesians. I really looked and looked and looked and said, Lord, where do you want me to go? Where do you want me to read from? And he led me here, which is good. It's his leading. But I wanted something a little different than this. But this is where he took me. And then when he began giving me the message, I saw why. It reads this way. And why don't you stand for just a minute while we do that? It'll give you a chance just to kind of stretch for a minute as we read and get into God's Word. Chapter 4 of Ephesians, verses 11 through 13. It was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Lord, that's our desire this morning, that we will mature in You and in Your love and in Your power. And we are thankful, Lord, this morning that You've given the church evangelists and prophets and pastors and teachers. And we're so thankful this morning that You've given the church great, great, strong, wonderful laymen. And I pray today, God, that you would just bless this church abundantly. You have through the years. This is the 60th year of the existence of Trinity Church of the Nazarene. And Lord, this morning you have used this church. There's been people saved at these altars. Believers sanctified holy. People have matured in their faith. They've grown in their love for Jesus. There's so many people that are in heaven today because of Trinity that more than we could even begin to count or think about. There are people, Lord, that have gone through these doors that whose lives have changed, even though they may not have made this their home church. This was the church responsible for giving the message to them, the message of salvation that led their lives to change for Jesus. We're thankful, Lord, this morning for everyone that's here. And we pray, God, this morning that you would speak to our hearts and help us, Lord, to gain great insight and knowledge from your word today. May you be praised. May you be blessed. We thank you for it. Lead us, Lord God. May we glorify you. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I did forget to mention somebody that a couple that have been here a lot of times. And I just now thought about it and I almost forgot them. And I when you start naming names, that's what happens. But Kenny and Shirley Heiss, Michelle's mom and stepdad, and we're so glad that they're here. But they've been here a lot. They're almost kind of like family anymore. But we're so glad that they're here. They came for this weekend too, and we had a wonderful time with them. My granddaughters and some of the great grandchildren. One of the great grandchildren. This is the first time we've ever seen him. He's 2 years old now, almost three. And we had a great time with them yesterday too. So anyway, just want to thank everybody this morning for being here. The ministry is a call of God for 20. Oh my goodness, I don't remember. 23 or 24 years. I was part of the Board of Ministerial Studies. On this district, I was the chairman of the Board of Ministerial Studies for 17 years. I really think that Jesus will come before somebody else breaks that record. In the first place, we have a deadline on how long you can serve. You can only serve for two terms of 3 years. I don't know how it happened that I ended up 17, but I did. And during that time, there were many, many times, many, many people that we talked to. And in every case that we talked to on the credentials board, and I was on their verse because of my position, my first question to them is, tell me about your call to preach. You see, the ministry is a call of God. It's not a chosen profession. It's not even an aspired vocation. It's not a field that is chosen, but it's a field that chooses. It's a God-called place of service. When God called me to preach 40 years ago, that was the last thing I thought I could ever do. And it was the very last thing that I ever wanted to do. But when God calls us to do something, if we're going to walk with Him in obedience, we have to obey. And I'll tell you this morning, there's some other preachers here. And I can tell you because I know them, and my confidence in them would tell you that they would stand up here and tell you the very same thing. That when God called them to preach, they had to do it, whether they wanted to or not. When I went to my pastor, Don Tyler, and I talked to him, and I said, Brother Tyler, I just feel like God's calling me to preach, and I don't understand it. I have a profession that I absolutely love. I enjoy doing it, and I just want to grow with it. I was a photographer, worked in television, and I loved television. And I said, besides that, I said, I'm married, you know, married, and Rosie and I have our roots down here in the Quad Cities, and we have four children. It just doesn't make sense that God would call somebody like that to preach. Brother Tyler looked at me, and he said, I'm going to tell you two things. Number one, he said, if he hasn't called you to preach, run as fast as you can. And number two, if he has called you to preach, none of those other things make any difference. And those were great words, because I couldn't get away from the fact that God was calling me into the ministry. I couldn't get away from the fact that God was calling me to do something that I didn't want to do and didn't think I had the talents or the gifts to do. I was trying to run from something that I really felt like it would be better off if I ran as fast as I could. But through the processes of God's work and the way that God does things, it finally came to the point where I either had to say, I'll preach or go to hell. Because it came down to that point. You see, 40 years ago, I said, yes, Lord, I'll go where you want me to go. Rosie and I said, we'll do what you want us to do. And we'll be what you want us to be. That began a journey for our family that would lead us into places that we never, ever thought that we would be. In fact, it led us to places we didn't even know existed. Our first church would take us to a little town of 2,100 people called Rockton, Illinois. We were from the Quad Cities of 200,000 people. And this little town of Rockton, Illinois, it was one of those where it had welcome on the front of the sign and come back and see us on the back. You drove in and you drove out. Couldn't hardly even find the church. But it was one of those churches that we saw, and we went to it, and the DS called us and said, I want you to go to Rockton. And I said, what's that? And he said, go up there and meet the people. And so we went from a church of 300 to a church of 20. And we walked in there, and the first thing that Rosie was really taken by was that the toilet from the parsonage was sitting out in the front yard. Now that's a little scary, because there wasn't even a shed around it. But we walked in there, and I know that Rosie was thinking, oh, this is not good. And we walked into this little parsonage chapel that where the chapel was in the front and the house was in the back. You walked through the door and you went from one to the other. Our front room was doubled as the nursery. The kitchen was a Sunday school class. We walked in there and we had that first service that morning, and I met with the board that afternoon and had the service that evening, and we drove out of that little town and we're driving away, heading back for Rock Island, and I looked at Rosie and I said, well, honey, what do you think? And she said, I'm going to tell you right now. She said, if I never see this town again, it'll be okay with me. To which I replied, you know, that's really too bad, because I really think this is where God wants us. We were there for 3 years, from 1973 to 1976. Rosie worked through the process with God, and she knew that's where we were supposed to be. Then God led us to a little town called Bushnell, Illinois, 130 miles from Rockton, Illinois. Same district, just down south. Rosie's dad had pastored that church in the 60s. He was there from 1964, I think, to 1969 or something to that effect. And Dr. Pounds, our DS, called and said, Ken, I want you to go talk to the people at Bushnell. I knew the people at Bushnell. I knew the Bushnell church. I remember one day my brother-in-law's dad, who was a part of that church, we saw one of the gals riding down the street on a bicycle just as fast as she could go. The police would stop her and tell her, Sadie, you got to slow down. And Brother Hollis looked at me and he said, you know, every church has one of those, and there goes ours. Well, we actually found out our church had many of those. Rosie said, I'm not going to Bushnell. To which I said, that's too bad, because I really think that's where God wants us. We were there for 8 years, from 1976 to 1982. Our boys grew up in Bushnell. Then it was on to East Peoria, just 70 miles from Bushnell. Now, I know that you're waiting for the statement from Rosie, I'm not going to East Peoria. Well, that didn't happen. She said to me, I really think that this might be where God wants us. And I said, I agree. However, boy, at that time, Kevin and Randy were in high school, and they were leaving Bushnell, which had been their home for some 8 years. And so we did agree that we would talk to them and say, all right, guys, it's up to you too. We believe this is where God wants us. I've been there for several weeks, and we had filled in there. And Dr. Pound said, I want you to talk to those people. It was interesting, by the way, Al, Ruth, and Jan, that when I went to Dr. Pounds and I said, he said, take the vote. And I said, okay, we'll take the vote. And they took the vote, and the vote was unanimous. And Dr. Pounds said to me, he said, man, that surprised me. I didn't think that church could agree upon anything. Well, they did agree upon that at least the first time, and we got there and went. Jan was there, and Steve had been in the Bushnell Church. His dad and I, his dad called me this morning, you know, Ron McKee, who I speak of very often, and my best friend, and Ron called me this morning to say he wished he could be here. But Ron and I met in Bushnell, and he said this morning, he said, you know, it's been 37 years since we've been best friends. Steve was a product of the Bushnell Church. Jan was a product of the East Peoria Church. And we went to East Peoria. It was then, and we were there from 1983 to 1991. It was there that Dr. Bailey, Tom Bailey, became our district superintendent in 1986, I believe it was. We were already friends of a sort. And what I mean by that was, first of all, he and Judy had pastored in Davenport, and we kind of knew them a little bit from there. But you see, I had known Judy when she was 17. My later-to-be sister-in-law lived in Indianapolis, where Judy lived, and my sister-in-law had grown up with us in the Quad Cities, moved to Indianapolis, and gotten to know Judy. Well, they came back to the Quad Cities to see my then later sister-in-law's grandmother, and Judy came with them, and another guy by the name of Jerry. I don't know who Jerry is. I only met him that one time. Now, these were pre-Kenny and Rosie days, and I kind of like Rita, too. And so I said to Rita, I said, why don't we go out? And she said, well, I'll tell you what. We'll ask Jerry and Judy, who later would be Judy Bailey, but not yet then, to go on a double date. Well, we went on a double date. And we had a pretty good time. And some years later, I met Tom Bailey. And I was sitting down to it with him at pastor seminar. And we were sitting at dinner. And I got to talking to him really for the first time. And really got getting to know him. And I said, you know, by the way, I said, many years ago, way back there, I said, Judy came to the Quad Cities. And we ended up, Rita and I, dated Judy and another guy. Was that you? And he said, no. Well, Tom and I got off on the right start, on the right foot there. But we did become good friends. And so during those years, we worked together. In 1991, Dr. Bailey asked me if I would come on staff to be his assistant. And so in 1991, we left East Peoria, went on staff with Dr. Bailey, moved out to our campground. And for the next 3 years, we were there with him working as his assistant. In July of 1994, by the way, I've got another sermon coming up. I'm just giving you the introduction here. However, in July of 1994, Dr. Bailey called and said, Ken, I'm sorry, let me back up there. He said, the NEI district has asked me to come and be their district superintendent, and I've accepted. He said, but the only problem is, he said, I'd love to take you with me, but the problem is that the board over there doesn't want two brand new guys on the district, and so they've asked me to choose an assistant from on the district. And he said, so I'm not sure what to do. I said, Tom, don't worry about it. I said, God knows where he wants us, and he's got a church out there for us. So we began looking. We began searching, and we went to Iowa and a couple churches in Illinois, and one church we turned down twice because we just didn't feel like it's where God wanted us to be. And we refused to go anywhere that God didn't want us to be. In fact, we had one couple, one lady came up to us and said, why don't you take one of those churches? And Rosie said to her, because that's not where God wants us. And she said, but you've got to have a job. And Rosie said, yes, we know that, but we're not going to go where God doesn't want us. So we waited. We ended up moving over to Indiana for 6 months to be with to work kind of unofficially with Dr. Bailey, and lived with Kevin and Diana here in town. And at the end, in July of 1994, Dr. Bailey called and said, "Ken, the board at Trinity would really like to talk to you." Now, I want you to know that we were determined to go wherever God wanted us. And I was a little reluctant about coming here because there was just mixed feelings in so many different ways. But we said we would, and so we came on that Tuesday night. And we met with the board. We met with the board and talked to them, and I interviewed them, and they interviewed me. It was on that Tuesday night, and after about an hour and a half or so, Rosie and I walked out of that room, which is now the preteen chapel. We walked out of that room, and we're walking down the hallway, and the board stayed in the room there. Dr. Bailey was going to meet with them. We're walking down the hallway, and I looked at Rosie, and I said those words to her. I don't know how they're going to vote tonight, but this is where God wants us. And you know what Rosie said. She said, "You're right. This is exactly where God wants us." 19 years ago, we both agreed that Trinity was God's will for our lives. And in these 19 years, we've never looked back. But I want you to know something. It all goes back to the fact that God calls the pastor. God calls the shepherd. God calls the pastor to where he wants him to preach, and God calls him to preach. You see, a God-called pastor is the only pastor that a church should call. Not a grandmother-called pastor, not a mom-called pastor, not a self-called pastor, not a self-installed pastor, and there are those out there. Now, I'm going to tell you something that's going to seem just a little bit ironic. Don't ever allow a pastor to just get up and preach about himself. Because if he gets up and he begins just saying, "Look how good I am. Look how great I am. I'm here now. We're really going to see some things happen." You've got the wrong guy. Paul said to Timothy, or in the book of... wait a minute, let me back up. Paul said to Timothy, "There are some that water. There are some that plant the seed. There are some that water, but it's God that gives the increase. And it's God that has to do it." The image of a shepherd, the image of a pastor-shepherd comes from God. It's a God-called pastor-shepherd that through the leading of the Holy Spirit will provide food from the Scriptures. There's never been a time in 19 years but what I haven't gotten up here and the first thing I've done is open my Bible. If you're not going to get a message from the Word of God, if you're not going to get a message from the Bible, don't waste your time. Just get up and go home. I remember a story of one guy that I heard that preached out of the seven strong points of a something or other from some magazine he got. And I thought, what a waste of time. If they're not going to preach from the Word of God, don't waste your time. You see, the God-called shepherd pastor is going to provide food from the Scriptures. It's a God-called pastor shepherd that will seek God's will and not his own, for the good of his people, God's people. If God ever wants to change the service, the pastor needs to be the kind of a shepherd pastor that's willing to change the service, even if it makes him uncomfortable. I don't know how many times in the past 19 years that I've sat down there or sat back here when we had the chairs up here, and God's looked at me and said, "I don't want you preaching that sermon." And I've said, "Oh God, don't do that to me again." But he's done it. Good, bad, or otherwise, it was his sermon, not mine. A God-called pastor, shepherd, is the one that'll be obedient to God when God says, "Hey, step aside. Let me take charge." And see, sometimes it's difficult to do that because we've planned the whole week. We've taken the whole week. We've planned the service. We've put the songs together. We've even come in on Wednesday nights and the praise team has practiced and the choir has practiced. And we've put together and said, "Okay, this is what God wants us to do." And then we come in here and God will say, "Forget all that." And we've said, "Wait a minute, God. We just spent a whole week on this thing." He'll say, "I don't care." You see, a God-called pastor is a person that will get out of the way when God says, "Step aside." You see, because it's the God-called pastor that wants only God's will and nothing else. And when God says step aside from a service, or God says step aside from a ministry, or God says step aside from whatever it is you're doing, if you're going to be a God-called person, you've got to be willing to say, Lord, your will, not mine. It's an awesome responsibility to be a God-called pastor. Paul, and as he was leaving Ephesus in the book of Acts, in chapter 20, verse 28, he gave these instructions to the elders. He said, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God. See, God has given the pastor shepherd a distinctive command, and that command has got to be followed. The God-called pastor shepherd is answerable to the great shepherd. Our pastors have got to understand that yes, they are an employee of the church, so to speak. But they're also and more so an employee of Christ Jesus. And they're more answerable to Him than to you. And sometimes a pastor shepherd will do things that some people don't like, but if he's in the very center of God's will, it's God's the one that he has to answer to. You see, Christ is the great shepherd. The God-called pastor shepherd answers to Him, no matter what the great shepherd says, he's answerable to Him, and he'll do what He says. And sometimes that doesn't make sense. And sometimes people don't like it. And sometimes it seems confusing to some people. But if God wants it done, it's God and that person, because I'm answerable to Him. A God-called pastor is answerable to Him first. Not even Rosie. And sometimes she doesn't understand it. And sometimes I don't understand it. But a God-called pastor shepherd is going to be answerable to God. God called us to be your pastor 19 years ago. And we answered that call. Dr. Bailey came out of that room a while later, and we went out and had dinner. And he said to me, the board wants you to consider coming. And I, as I told you a little bit ago, we had said to several other DSs, just isn't where God wants us, but I looked at Tom and I said, Tom, we already know this is where God wants us, so do what's ever next. You called us to be your pastor 19 years ago, and we answered that call. And I've got to tell you that we've always done the best we could, good or bad, accepted or not, but as best possible, we've done what we knew we were supposed to do. And with the task of preaching the word first and foremost, to see the people of God grow in their walk with Christ. More than anything else, that was my determination, was to see people saved, believers sanctified, and people grow in their walk with Jesus. And I can tell you, I can look out here today and I can see some of you, many of you, that have grown so much in the Lord. I've seen you grow in leaps and bounds in Jesus. And then, of course, sad to say, we've seen some fall away, and we pray for them. But as best possible, we've done exactly what God would have us to do. And as you've walked with God in obedience, you've seen the growth in each other and in the church. And I got to tell you, in these last 19 years, you have loved Rosie and I with a love beyond anything that we could even speak. And I want you to know something. We've loved you. There hasn't been... This is where I'm going to lose it. There hasn't been a week that goes by, but what we haven't prayed for you and thought about you. Even on Sundays when we were gone for vacation or whatever, I wake up on that Sunday morning and the first thing I think about is praying for Trinity. And then thinking about 9:30, Sunday school starting, hope everybody's in place. And then thinking about 10 o'clock, quarter after 10. Hope they remember to ring the buzzer. And then 10:30. Lord, they're starting church now. And I begin praying for them. You see, we've loved you with everything that's in us. You're our family. And that love is never going to go away. It's just going to keep on growing. No matter where God leads us, no matter where God leads this church, no matter where God takes all of us, that love is going to just keep on building. I want you to know that I have fed you as the Holy Spirit has asked me to feed you. I've always done my best to bring you the Word of God. And now I want you to walk together. And as the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Keep working. Keep pushing. Keep going at it. I've got to tell you, this church is going to be the church that is going to put this neighborhood on the map. With some of the things that are in place now, with Brother C.D. Blake working with the Family Life Center and the things that have already begun developing there, and with the different ones that are in process, and those of you that are taking up leadership roles, this church is just on the brink of breaking loose. And I got to tell you something: if you'll just follow the leader, follow the Lord, follow His leadership, follow what God tells you to do, this church is going to be putting this area on the map. Stay together as God's flock. You see, God is changing pastors at Trinity. And we may ask the why question. We may say why. Some of you may say, why is that happening to us now? Why is God doing this? Why is God asking Pastor and Rosie to step aside? And some of you might not be too happy. Some of you might be a little elated. I did really write that. Some of you might be saying, it's about time this guy's getting out of here. But some of you might not be too happy. But let me tell you something. In the process of all of it, God knows the why. He knows the why. And as sad as I am, and as hard as it is for me today, and I've had so many people say to me today, it's kind of bittersweet, isn't it? And yes, it is. It is in many ways and in many terms, but I've just got to still say, and I've asked God many times this week, why? But I want you to know that as a church, we've always done our best to walk in His steps, and we will continue to do that, no matter where that leads us. I want you to give the new pastor, the new shepherd, the same love that you've given to Rosie and I. I want you to welcome them into your family. I want them to look at you the way I've looked at you. I want that pastor shepherd to get up one of these days and say, this is the greatest church on NEI district. I had somebody come to me one time and said, do you really believe that? And I said, oh man, yes I do. I said, it's not just the best church on NEI, it's the best church I've ever seen. And I want your pastor shepherd, your new pastor shepherd, I want you to love them so much. I want you to follow them. I want you to follow them the way you followed us. I want you to grab a hold of His leadership. You see, God is doing what He's doing for a purpose. He's doing what He's doing because He has a plan. And follow the plan. He's not going to be the same kind of leader that I've been. He's not going to ask the same things of you that I've asked. He's not going to preach the same way that I preach. He's not going to teach the same way that I teach. He's not going to administrate the same way. And I'll tell you why. Because if that's what God wanted, He wouldn't have asked me to step aside. Years ago, we had people call us from another church, a church that we went to as laymen. And they said, they had a new pastor, and they said, but he doesn't preach like Brother Tyler. He doesn't do this like Brother Tyler. He doesn't do like that like Brother Tyler. And I said to him, I said, of course he doesn't. If God wanted a Brother Tyler there, Brother Tyler would still be there. You've loved us. Love them. You've followed us. Follow them. Give Him the same love, support. Give Him what you've got. Give Him your heart. just make sure of this. Make sure, church board, Trinity Church, just make sure of this. Make sure that he's a God called pastor shepherd. Ask him about his call to preach. Don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed. Ask him, how has God used you? What's your track record? Now, I can't tell you how many people have been saved under our ministry, but we've lived that together. We've seen a lot of people on these altars. And he may not be able to say, well, there have been 42 people saved under my ministry, but he's going to be able to say to you, God has used the messages to get a hold of people's lives, and we've seen people changed. I don't know who God's going to send, but I do know this, that God is going to send you his person. And when he does, you'll know it's him. You'll know it's the right one. You'll know it's of God. See, God's church is going to grow, and you're going to grow. Trinity is going to move forward as a strong church with strong people because God's will is being done. And I'm going to be watching you. And I'm going to be loving you. And I won't be your pastor anymore. And you can't call me and ask me about things. But I'm going to be praying for you. And we're going to be praying that God brings you the person that he has next to help you to grow in the Word, to grow in power, and to grow in the Spirit of God. Because we all want God's will to be done. I want to pray for you this morning. And then I think there's some other things to be done. Father, this morning, we do thank you. I thank you, Lord, for 19 years of wonderful, beautiful ministry. Half of my ministry has been in this church. Half of my ministry has been given to great and wonderful people. And I just want to thank you for that, Lord, for the joy and the privilege, for the blessing that you have given to Rosie and I to be a part of this. You've put our family in Indiana so that we could not only love the people of Trinity, but feel like Indiana is home. You've put our kids right here in Fort Wayne in ministries of their own. And because of that, Lord, in these 19 years, not only has Trinity been our home, but we've been able to put down roots right here in a town that we love. That's how you've blessed us. And Lord, you've blessed this church because through the years, you have used this church to win people to Christ. There are so many names that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life because of this church. So many, God, that we couldn't even begin to name them all. But there are people that are going to be with you in eternity because of Trinity Church of the Nazarene and its 60 years of tremendous ministry. And all those men that have come before us as pastor shepherds. And those that will come behind us. Out of those 60 years, a third of the church's existence has been under this leadership. And I pray, God, that we've done you proud. Lord, even though we're stepping aside, the church here has great leadership that will continue in position. And I pray that you will bless them today. And I just pray, Lord God, that we will see more and more great and powerful and wonderful things as you take this church and continue making it everything you want it to be. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much. For what you've given to us. And now I pray, Lord, that you'll continue to bless Trinity. She's a good church. Bless her real good. And we'll thank you, Lord, for we ask it in your name. Amen.
This is Donna's husband. He's going to pray for the food and the meal, and that's what he gets for visiting this morning, Brother John Hollis.
That's great. Father, we are grateful for all the blessings, all the ways you've worked, and all the ways you're going to continue working, and for the way you're going to use food to nourish our bodies and the fellowship together. We love you and give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.